What's up, folks? Welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. How's it going? What's up, Ron? How
Oh,
you doing,
dude,
bro?
I'm doing all right, man. Just trying to, make a dollar out of 50 cents.
It's kind of like,
Not easy
man,
these days.
I see it now. Like, I feel like this paradigm shift is happening. And we're watching everything of the old era, the old paradigm crumble down and just get destroyed. And I don't even think. And I'll be honest, I think this is already done. I think it's done. I think what we're watching now is, it's a new consciousness. And a lot of us are ahead of the ball on this. Like you are, I am, my audience. We're already on the other side of this. And once you're in that, when you're in that new consciousness, you can't put a new consciousness back into the old shoebox. It doesn't work
Oh,
that way.
that is true. Now, but I want to get some clarification. When you say everything's already done, are you kind of talking about like let's just say, a 16 plus one, that whole thing?
No, I think we're going through the motions. I think this is so much has been exposed. You can't put the cat back in the bag,
I
so to
agree.
speak. And I think at this point, we're watching everything now with a different lens on, a different, it's almost like hindsight's 2020, but now we're looking at these, the celebrity got the celebrity, crap that's happening with P. Diddy, the scandals, everything that's happening. We're just watching the old structure just tumble down, old Hollywood just collapse on itself, old structures, the old government, everything.
Not
It's
just that,
all,
but media too. The media as well.
it's done. It's like people's eyes are open. And there's a lot of people that are late to the ball. Like I have neighbors, bro, that still have a Harrison Waltz sign on their yard. And I'm thrown off by that. I just there's no hope for these people. But for those ones, they're sleepwalkers. People that are still wearing the face diapers, people that are buying everything the media is selling them. But I'm gonna stay in this podcast as hard as it's gonna be in these next 3 to 6 months. I have hope for humanity. I
Oh, I
really
do
do.
too. I really do. I, dude, on my channel, I talk about things that you would never get away being. I mean, you couldn't even like scratch the surface of them here on FluffTube. But,
Well, yeah, because it's OnlyFans.
I, dude, you promise, man. Every time we do this, you promise you're not gonna like out my OnlyFans. The, but, I was you kind of derailed me there with the OnlyFans thing. I wanted to say something to you though, talking about paradigms and realization and everything. And I was I stumbled on a story not too long ago about like I guess the federal agents had raided a hotel in your neck of the woods where they literally pulled like 15 or 20
In San Antonio.
Venezuelans. Yeah, no, yeah, I think it was a little bit closer to you than that. It was actually.
In El Paso. Yeah, right here.
Yeah, it was, and it was right
I
down.
took you in that area,
Yes,
Ron.
exactly. That's why I was looking at the video footage, and I'm like, dude, that looks like really familiar. And it's like right down there where you and I ran into those people and we're talking to them.
Yeah, let's tell
By
that
the
story
way,
in a second. Hold on, folks. Get your noble goal.
read your story.
Yeah, let me do this real quick. Are you worried about the future of the U.S. economy with so much uncertainty in the air? It's natural to fret about the security of your retirement savings. But there's one asset that stands the test of time, and that's gold, folks. For centuries, gold has been the hedge against market volatility and economic instability. With a gold IRA from Noble Gold Investments, you can harness the power of precious metals to help protect your financial future. By rolling over your existing IRA or 401k into a self-directed gold IRA, you can enjoy potential for long-term growth and stability. Diversify your portfolio with tangible asset that stands the test of time and has real value. Setting up your gold IRA has never been easier with Noble Gold Investments' streamlined process and expert guidance. This election year, don't let election volatility and uncertainty keep you up at night. Vote for the timeless safety of gold and silver in 2024. Noble Gold Investors will give you up to 10 1 ounce silver Trump coins or a 10 ounce silver American flag bar if you open up a qualified account today. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. Noble Gold Investments. You like how I do these commercials, man? They're kind of cool,
Dude,
right?
you singing them, man. It's like, yeah, you're it's like, little, little, all you need is a little bit of music behind it, background music, as long as it's not like
There's a
70s,
cadence.
70s triple X music. So.
Oh, man. What were we saying?
We're talking about when I came down there and we went down and we got a bunch of footage. We were talking to a couple of those guys. And I think, you know, initially it was kind of okay. But then I think as time progressed, we got a little bit uneasy and you're like, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, they started surrounding the vehicle. And I was like, dude, I always leave before there's trouble. I like to step over the line, but not like completely. You know, I like to put my toe in the water a little bit. So I took you down there. I let you see where all the Venezuelans are hanging out. And we said hello to a couple of them, talked to them for a little bit. And then, if you know how to talk to these people, bro, they're not, they recognize swag. They recognize street swag. They understand when someone's talking their language, and it's not if you know Spanish. It's if you know the swag and the lingo. That's it. Yeah. If you know the street, if you have the street smarts. There's a street lingo, man, that they all know, and I know that. I was raised on the border. But, you know, what's really crazy is I found out the other night, I'm not going to tell who discloses to me, but you know how the Mormon church basically, they've always been the ones to harvest and prep. They've had huge warehouses with food, and they have farms. They have the whole thing. Well, mm-hmm. Do you know that a lot of the Christian churches or Catholic churches here in El Paso get their food from them?
Mm-hmm.
So I found that out last night talking to a friend who's also FBI, by the way. But I'm not going to say who he is. Anyway, his mother was telling me how they basically – they're the ones that are like the Mormon churches are the ones that collect all the food and do all that stuff. And then there's, I guess, once a month or maybe more than that. I don't know how many times a month they give it to other churches for people in need. But these churches are taking it and giving it to the immigrants. They're just going to and just handing it out all out to the immigrants. And there's a big conflict with that right now. Like they're starting to get pissed. They're like, man, we're giving you this food to help others. And you're just...
You're giving it to people who are not American, basically. It's like, we're giving this to you to help people in need, and you're giving it to people who are here not
right. Legally. And that's still happening. So even with all the stuff happening with Hurricane Helene and all that, there's a lot of these churches are still giving out massive amounts of food to the immigrants. Just look, everyone needs to eat. I understand that. A lot of the people that came here, I feel very bad for them. I do, because you saw them, bro. A lot of them are just... Yeah.
Look, people are people, and I'm not a bleeding heart lefty, but you know, when you talk about, you know, people who are coming here for a better life, I get it. I completely understand. Look, I've been around the world in places that other people haven't, because I was in the Navy. So being in the Navy and seeing, I mean, I've seen poverty the likes of which you can't fathom in the United States. You just can't fathom.
Well, speaking of your job in the Navy, you were a weatherman, right?
I did the weather in the Navy, yeah.
So would like your what made you not go into the weather? I like your local news station. Could you have done that? I could have.
I was going to be a pharmacist, dude. My dad was a pharmacist and he owned a pharmacy, and I was going to go to pharmacy school, and I was going to come out, and I was going to be, you know, when I got out of the Navy, my dad he grandfathered me in to be a pharmacy technician. So because that was when pharmacy techs first came into being. And so anyway, I did that. I did that for like 10 years. And I was like, I was kind of hemming and hawing. I really got a sour taste in my mouth about pharmacy. And I'm like, I really don't want to do this. And so I didn't. But
you got to do what you love, man.
Well, you know what? I mean, I really did enjoy the weather, but I stumbled into that. That wasn't something that I had planned on. It just kind of happened. And I never even saw myself as, you know, taking that and making it into a career or anything. Although
but you're like an expert in weather. We could say I have a weatherman.
I don't know about an expert. I don't know about an expert, but I am much more intelligent than the layperson. I'll tell you that.
Well, you're going to know a hell of a lot more about the weather than I will. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't even know how there's even a weatherman on television anymore. If you could just check your phone, it's kind of like, that's like a dying profession, right?
Well, not really. It depends, because I mean, most of the time weather guys on television are not meteorologists, but
right.
Lately what we're starting to see, at least, I don't watch television, so I shouldn't really say that. But my understanding is there are several people out there who actually went to weather school. They understand meteorology, and then they go into the profession, like the news profession, and they take their skills and talents as a, you know, from communications and meld it with with their understanding of the weather, and so that they're actually that much more effective. But you know, the weathermen, and you know, yesteryear on television, those guys were just, you know, when you came out of journalism school and you got hired on, they was like, hey, well, we need a weather guy, and they're like, okay, well, I'll be the weather guy.
Wow. You know,
even though really, they didn't like have that. Any weather training, yeah, because I mean, all they had to do was just read a screen. I mean, they'd have the script was already written for them.
You know, there's so many times when I was boxing that I would be in the studios, the news studios, because I was always doing hits at local news stations whenever I was fighting in like certain cities or whatever. And like, I always stopped to watch the weatherman. It was like, it put me like in a hypnotic trance, dude. I would be in the studio just watching this guy. I'm like, how the fuck is he coordinating? Because it's just a green screen and he just looks at himself on a television and he like, he's pointing to the green screen, but you can't see what we see on this on television. He can't see that.
No, and then he has screens, is screens to the side of him, that he like television screens that are like off to the that he's looking at a 90-degree angle that the people that are watching television, they can't see. And so when he's like doing all of his hand motions about showing like where the fronts are and where the storm is activities are, or certain areas of the country and they're hotter and these are colder, typically, I mean, that's just practice of him making the maneuvers that coincide with what, you know, the green screen that's behind him, but he can actually see himself on a screen.
So let me get your expert opinion on what Hurricane Milton is. We both believe it's not natural, and we'll say that here on FluffTube. I'm going to play a little bit of this video first to get people's mouth wet.
And good morning. Welcome to Fox Weather First. I'm Craig Herrera here in New York at our studios. This is the start of today's live coverage of Hurricane Milton approaching Florida. My co-anchor and friend Britta Merwin joins us from Lido Key, Florida, right near Sarasota. Good morning, Britta.
Good morning, Craig. Arriving in Lido Key this morning, a very eerie feeling. There's very few people out and about, as you can imagine. We just had
literally the calm before the storm, huh? Like, look how calm it is.
A police officer drive by. Lido Key is 4 miles away from downtown Sarasota. You take the John Ringling Causeway to get over here. It's known for St. Armand's Circle. It's an outdoor shopping area. Absolutely beautiful. That's behind the camera, and we'll show you what it looks like this morning. Everything has moved out of the storefronts and everything is boarded up. Meanwhile, behind me, Craig, that's the concern. Debris piles left over from Helene, this beautiful, quiet neighborhood, about 2,500.
So those debris piles are going to be blown to smithereens all over the place, causing even more damage.
Yep.
So this hurricane is going to be way worse than Helene, right? That's what it's projected to be.
I don't know if it's going to be worse, because as I understand it, it was at a category 5. It went from a category 4 to a category 5, and they say that it's going to downgrade. It was then downgraded to a category 3, but then they say it's going to be upgraded again to a category 4, but then downgraded again before it actually hits landfall. I don't know. This is like this thing. I think they should rename it from Milton or to Sybil. Because I don't think anybody really has any idea what the
like multiple personalities.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell's going to happen here.
Right.
Residents live here full time, because keep in mind, it's a growing population, right? You have a lot of tourists that come in and come out. But for the people that call Lido Key home all year round, their lives are right now out on a sidewalk. And that's going to be a very complicated scenario come tomorrow morning, which is the earliest onset of storm surge that is possible. So, Craig, you know, this is going to be a long journey, and this is truly just the beginning.
Yeah, Britta, and as we take a look at some of the debris behind you, I think that's been a big concern as well, right? Trying to clear out the debris, but not really the case in all situations. There just hasn't been enough time.
Although there's no way that they can remove it. We have seen one.
Isn't there another one following this one, Ron? I mean, isn't there?
I think so. I'll look up Noah. Hey, check your email. I sent you an image to put on the screen. Let me go and check.
What do you mean Noah? That's the next one that's coming?
No, Noah, NOAA is the National Oceanographic.
I was like, that's kind of a weird name for a flood.
Well, no, that's if you go to, you know, the Hurricane Center, that's where it is. Here, I'll actually post this link in the.
So what is it that I'm pulling up right here? Oh yeah, I see it.
I just sent you the link to the NOAA center.
Right, I see it. What is this exactly? What am I looking at here?
That is a picture of like that. That's a satellite image of basically like some sort of anomaly just to the east, or I'm sorry, just to the west of the west coast of Florida before it actually hit landfall. And that was sent to me yesterday by somebody. Now, the thing that really struck me as odd is why is that pattern so perfectly spiral?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I see it perfectly, man. Look
That's
at that.
just, that's
The hell
weird.
is up with that?
Yeah, that's weird.
That's
Now,
so weird.
it's weird. I don't know what it is. To me, it just does not look natural.
That does not look normal or natural at all.
No.
Come on, folks. Give me your thoughts down below.
Yeah,
Put a
I don't know.
comment.
And you know what? I mean, somebody sent that to me, so I don't know if it's an actual picture or if it's Photoshopped. I can't say for certain. And if you guys, if put it in the chat section, if that's real, if it's fake, if you have the original link to that, because it was sent to me, and I'm frankly, I haven't looked for it. I haven't searched for it, but it was sent to me from a gentleman that I have a lot of faith and trust in. So I don't really have any reason to suspect that he's lying. But I also saw another image that somebody sent me of like just some very bizarre cloud formations on the west coast of Florida. And I was looking up, and it looked like, you know, if you know, you ever heard of a Mammoth cloud?
No.
Have you ever looked up in the cloud, up in the sky, and the clouds are forming some sort of a shape at the bottom that looks like the underneath of a egg crate or an egg carton?
Yeah, where they're like that.
Yeah,
Yes.
that's what's called downwardly. That's downward billowing. So you've got, so normally what clouds do is when clouds billow, you've got the base layer of the cloud, which is called the inversion layer. All right. Well, the that's where that's where the clouds start to condensate and become clouds, and clouds generally will billow upwards. Well, if you've got that, if you've got the shape of like it looks
An egg crate, yeah.
like they call it Mammoth clouds because it looks like a you know a mama like with the mammary glands hanging down. So
Okay.
if you have that, and actually if you look behind you in the back of your corner where you've got the like the egg crate, that's kind of what it looks like.
Okay.
If you, because that's the soundproofing stuff, right? That's what it does.
Oh, you mean like this stuff? Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
that's what the bottom of the
Yeah,
cloud looks
I've
like.
seen those. I've seen these clouds, and I know
Yes.
what they're called. I don't want to say them, and I don't people. I just say it.
No,
No,
it's called the Mammoth cloud. That's what it's called.
I
That's
know,
the
but
that.
it's from planes.
No, that's not what that's from.
No,
Actually, what that's from.
but the, all right, go ahead.
No, what that's what when you get the downward billowing, that means that since clouds normally form upwards, that's them forming down because you've got downward draft pressure pushing the clouds to form
What's
downwards.
causing that?
That's instability. And typically when you have instability in the clouds like that, that's when you get tornadic activity.
But could that be artificial?
Well, anything could be artificial if they're manipulating the weather.
Right.
But I
Okay.
don't
So
know
we'll
how,
just leave it at.
but I don't know how, that's not necessarily, that's more of a byproduct of, because when things like that are done, they're done on a grand scale. They don't like laser focus into a particular area. If something like that occurs, it's going to be a byproduct of the grand, call it the manipulations, call it that.
Okay,
That's the byproduct of
so
that.
after this one, we potentially have one more that could hit, right?
I don't see one in the Gulf of Mexico. Looking at the looking at the on the NOAA website, I see another one that has about a, it looks like about a 10% chance. It's right off of the coast of Africa, by Senegal. I don't know if anything's going to come from that. There's another storm that's basically in the center of the Atlantic, right about literally about halfway between Puerto Rico and the coast of the west coast of Africa. But that looks like it's going to kind of curve up and go hit potentially Portugal. So I don't see another storm other than the potential of one maybe on the west coast of Mexico near Guadalajara, just to the south of Cabo San Lucas.
And it's not even hurricane season, right? Isn't hurricane
Oh,
season
it's still
like
hurricane season.
is it?
Hurricane season generally goes from about July to November.
Really? Okay, so all right. So then, wow. Man, we got, and this is just the beginning of October, October 8th. This
Well, there's a
is,
lot, but
there's
again,
just, but I mean, let's talk about, well, I mean, that's just one way to, that's like the first big boom of October. You and I both know, we talk to a lot of the same people, and you and I both know that we run in the same circles. You and I both know that it's a green light now. Everything's go. And we're probably looking at the next 6 months to be pretty damn chaotic. Do you agree with that?
I would say, personally, I think it's going to be a lot more concentrated. I think the chaos is going to be, is going to come up to a boiling point. It's the temperature's already rising now. I feel like the temperature's going to continue to rise up until the first part of November, and then I feel like it's going to be a landslide. If
You,
it allows,
yeah, but we know that, right? You and I assume that, but
if allowed to happen.
they're not gonna play it out like that. They're not gonna play those cards.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If allowed to occur, and it's a landslide, and for our guy,
For Mr.
well,
T.
that's fine. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. If it's a landslide for our guy, then that is when I kind of foresee all hell breaking loose, because they got to do everything they can to prevent, the unthinkable from happening in January 20th.
Yeah, I just had a guy on today, David, I think it's David Sawell or something like that, and he was talking about he just filmed the documentary about J6, and I was like, do you think that's going to be a walk in the park for what's coming? And he just kind of like nodded, and I was like, yeah, I mean, it's what's coming to me could be a lot bigger than that, because when they see the potential, when they understand that there's nothing else they can do, when they see Mr. T make that move, and it's like, okay, the people have spoken, what then? And I'm talking, that's when I'm expecting it for to really all hell to really break loose,
I
aren't you?
agree. I agree. I see, because I'm actually of the opinion that they have to allow what's going to happen in the beginning of November to occur. Like,
Right.
if they try to stop it, it's only going to make things worse. So, because I mean, you look at some of the people in eastern part or the western part of North Carolina, dude. If they're still alive, there is nothing that is going to prevent them. I mean, if they had to crawl uphill in a torrential rain in the mud to get to a voting booth, they're going to
Yeah,
do it.
they're doing it.
So I liken it to, when the Germans were bombing England, or the English were bombing Germans in World War II. The bombing campaigns did not have the desired effect that either side wanted. Really, what it did was it made the civilian population, even more resolute to win the bomb. That's what the bombing campaign did. So all these things that are being done with the idea that they're going to try to dissuade them from getting to the polls or not to vote a specific way that they want to, that's it's going to be
And
boomerang, total
let's not
boomerang.
forget to mention Biden and Kamala's response on
Oh,
Hurricane Helene. It's been
yeah.
terrible.
If you
So
want to
that
call it.
right there has been more exposing than anything.
Right. Well, listen, when FEMA comes out and says we don't have any more money left, to think of the optics of that. And see, and but that gives me
Yeah,
that
it's
gives
all going to immigrants.
right.
That's
That
crazy.
or foreign aid, with the two biggest recipients being that little country south of Russia and the one in the Eastern Mediterranean. Those are the two that are getting the most money. Really? For what? But and then you've got more money going to people who are not even Americans, and meanwhile, while you've got a whole segment of society in American citizens that are being, left for dead for all intents and
So this
purposes.
could have been a blessing in disguise, so to speak, in the
I
sense that it
agree.
woke up a hell of a lot more people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
And I don't mean to. I'm not trying to say that I'm happy that people are suffering in North Carolina. That's not the case at all. And especially for what's going to happen in Florida potentially. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to struggle from this. But if the response from the federal government in Florida is anything remotely close to what it was in North Carolina, it's going to be really ugly for the left. A long time ago, I remember Juan used to kept talking about we need 80%. We need 80%.
Right.
80% of
I
the
think we're
people.
way
And dude,
past that.
I think we're past 80%. I think We're approaching 90. You know, I'm on YouTube a lot. I know I'm not, I probably shouldn't be, but to me, that's where the fight is, at least in terms of like when I watch stuff. I still watch a lot of stuff on YouTube. And, you know, every once in a while, you scroll down through the homepage and you'll come up things and I'll say, who are you going to vote for? Who are you going to vote for? Dude, there's not one time that I don't click on those things and I just to see what the numbers are. And it's always Mr. T always has 90%+.
I have not seen
a double digit number for either of the two Democrats ever.
I agree with you.
And
that's very telling in itself. It's like, it's like I think we're finally there. Like what Juan has talked about for so long.
Because FluffTube, you know, FluffTube does not cater to a conservative audience.
Neither does X. I mean, you know, I mean,
no, but I mean, X, you know, does, but X a little bit more so. But you know, as I don't dislike True Social, I don't dislike Telegram, but you know, I mean, listen, I would say the three main platforms of where people are duking it out and spreading information, at least for the people who count. I shouldn't say that, and I'm on the people who count, but the older generation, those are going to, that's going to be X/Twitter, YouTube, or Facebook.
Yeah.
Instagram
and TikTok are mainly for,
they're for the much 20 younger generation.
30s and below, right? 35 and below.
If you're 35 to 40 and above, you're on one of those three platforms.
Yeah. I agree with you. Let's make a pivot real quick. Let's talk about Jaguar Wright exposes Beyonce and Jay-Z's countless bodies. I think these people are next. I think Jay-Z's coming. I think.
I do too. I think he's running scared.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way out for him. I've heard rumors that he's left the country, which he should. But let's just listen to a little bit. Let's commentate on this video for a second. It's Jaguar Wright.
Go ahead.
How does Jay-Z sit down with Gayle King and she not ask him one question about the intersection between him and Aaliyah and Robert Kelly?
Say what now? Not Jaguar Wright exposing Beyonce and Jay-Z for allegedly keeping bodies in their house. And Jay-Z apparently selling Diddy out to the feds. Chill, y'all.
Wow, so she's saying Jay-Z sold Diddy out.
Gotta get in here and grab yourself a chair for this mess, because this mess with Diddy is just getting more and more intense by the minute, and Jaguar Wright is on top of it. This comes after she went on national television and revealed that Beyonce and Jay-Z has allegedly been unaliving people and keeping the bodies in their house for some depraved rituals. But she wasn't done with just that, y'all.
You know, this goes to like everything I talked about in my viral video that first threw me onto the scene. Remember that in 2020. I kicked the door open for this stuff. I mean, obviously first it was like Isaac Cappy and people like that, but mine went mainstream pretty damn fast, and it would, by accident, folks. I didn't mean it to. It was just a thing that happened. But I said,
I've seen that video multiple times, and that was, I remember, I'll never forget, you know, on the backyard and by the pool in your cowboy hat. I
didn't have a cowboy hat on. I don't know what you were watching.
It was a D. It was, had a big D on it.
Oh. Okay, yeah. Cowboy's hat. Gotcha. All right. I thought you meant I was wearing a cowboy hat. What are you watching, Ron?
Yeah, Dallas Cowboy hat.
Also alleged that Jay-Z has been in contact with the feds for years now, and that he was the one who was allegedly funding the investigation into Diddy so he could protect himself from getting incriminated. Baby, I don't know where Jaguar getting all this information from, but our girl was brave enough to throw these allegations around on national television with millions of people tuned in. So she gotta have some sort of evidence to back it up when ish hits the fan. Now, before we get into it, I want y'all to know Jaguar hasn't given any proof to support these wild claims. So we can't.
She's gotta be protected. She's had to been sat. She had to sit down with somebody and they said, go for it. Go all out. Do what you got to do.
Okay, so again, I talked about 16+1.
This is part of it?
It could be, because I mean, part of that is exposing Hollywood, and you know, I mean, you know, you remember John Solomon and Sarah Carter? Remember how they were reporters that were really kind of on the left, but then they were brought in, and a lot of their work was highlighted. you know, to me, it's not unthinkable to think that, you know what, maybe these are individuals that are bringing stuff out and saying, look, have courage to do this because we got your back.
Yes, that's what I believe. And then if you also see Stephen Baldwin coming out, giving mm-hmm. these cryptic warnings about the calm before the storm and all this.
Right.
To me, it's almost like Hurricane Helene and Milton are kind of like, it's kind of like represents to me the storm that's going to hit these people, man. I'm being serious.
Oh, no.
Like, what's coming? It's almost
that
prophetic.
Metaphor is not lost on me. That metaphor is not lost on me.
Can't sit here and say for certain that it's true. But one thing about Jaguar, she's never been wrong a day in her life. So I advise y'all to take this with a pinch of salt. Okay, so the entire mess went down just a few days ago when Jaguar was invited as a guest on the Piers Morgan show, Piers Morgan Uncensored. This was a huge platform for Jaguar because it was her first interview on national TV, and she ain't hold back at all from dragging Beyonce and Jay-Z for filth and exposing some disturbing things that they allegedly did. Jaguar accused Jay-Z and Beyonce of being a nasty, dirty couple with skeletons in their closet. She said Jay-Z was the one who pumped millions of dollars into funding the investigation of R. Kelly so that the heat wouldn't catch up to him, and he's allegedly doing the same thing to Diddy right now. She also said she currently has 3 victims in her possession who are willing to testify in court about what Jay-Z and Beyonce allegedly did to them.
There's no doubt they're next.
Okay, so let me throw this out there. We all know that 3-letter agencies are complicit in a lot of this stuff because that's right. You know, at the extreme high levels, not rank and file, but at the extreme high levels. Would it not stand to reason that some of those extreme high level people come down and are interacting with these high profile people in Hollywood,
of course,
and saying, look, we need you to do this because it's time, we're going to try to protect you, so we need to like, you know, this is really just a big version of what do they call gaslighting, where it's like
distraction
and accusing others of what you're guilty of. Not that Diddy's is innocent, but I don't believe that he's nearly on the level of Jay-Z.
Think Jay-Z's, wow. So there's like a hierarchy here.
I think Jay-Z was much higher. Well, who was out there first? Was it Jay-Z or Diddy?
I want to say Diddy was, man. I mean, Diddy and Biggie, right? Wasn't
maybe. Oh no,
Biggie Smalls. Yeah, way back in the day. That's then Jay-Z hit the scene. So I would think that P. Diddy brought in Jay-Z. I could be wrong, but I think that's the way it went.
I don't know. But just because somebody comes in later doesn't mean that they're not going to rule the roost at some point in time, because it really, what it comes down to is it comes down to egos and who's got the most cojones to stand up and, you know, it's like, don't cross me type thing. You know, it's a testosterone game.
He said Jay and Beyonce allegedly drew people until they fell unconscious, then flew them to their house to do whatever they please with them.
Yeah.
Jaguar also claims that there are bodies in Beyonce and Jay's house and that Jay had a hand in Aaliyah's death.
Publicly.
Ooh.
Dream Hampton spearheaded the Surviving R. Kelly campaign, which fueled the Me Too campaign. And that was all funded by Sean Carter to make sure that Robert Kelly went to jail. Get his lick back. Why is nobody understanding that Dream Hampton was being financed and ran by Sean Carter? They were able to go and get all of these witnesses because he was there with Robert Kelly. How does Jay-Z sit down with Gail King and she not ask him one question about the intersection between him and Aaliyah and Robert Kelly? This is insane that people keep refusing to see what's right there.
How many victims potentially do you think there could be?
Thousands. Thousands.
Damn.
Wow. You know let me say that I have a, you know, I'm it's gradual, but I'm warming up a little to Piers Morgan because I feel like Piers Morgan is actually doing some honest journalism these
somewhat.
Days. Yeah, somewhat, but more so than others.
Or mainstream, yeah. Do you think, you know, my mind goes to, you know, these powerful people, bro. Do you think they just get so fucking bored with their power that they're just like, you know what? I'm going to start going to some rituals. I'm going to start playing with some black magic. I'm going to start, like, seeing what I can do with other human beings. And then it becomes, like, an addiction to evade the justice, the to kind of, like, to fly under the radar as much as they can and do all this shit in secret. Well, that's, and there's a hierarchy behind the scenes.
The phrase for that is adrenaline junkie.
Right. Which leads to also
a different kind of adrenaline.
Yes, exactly. So that's what I was getting at. So obviously these people must be diddling in that. No pun intended there.
If you look at anybody who is, you know, probably in their 40s, 50s, or 60s, and they still look like they're in their 20s, there's got to be something going on there.
I think so. I just think behind the scenes, I've heard there's a hierarchy, right, where the deals are really made in these ceremonies, and they want to see how far you'll go to make these deals. And it's all comes down to this Luciferian. I mean, you even see LeBron. Have you seen LeBron James ritual before games?
Yes. I saw that where he pounds his chest three times and then he does this thing where he's got like this thing and he throws the dust up in the air. And then he's got, he's throwing his 666 signs everywhere. It's kind of crazy.
I mean, it's an obvious ritual, right? I mean, for those of us that are awake, okay, like me and you, those of us who are awake to this agenda, to what's going on, to me, they mean nothing. Like, you know, like I had my idols in sports when I was a kid, my icons when I was growing up, Muhammad Ali, who I think is still a very good man. But I mean, I had these icons and they're not the same anymore. LeBron James will never be a Michael Jordan to me. Never. Michael Jordan's in his league of his own, a sport of his, it's his own thing. But now, like, the kids are looking at these guys doing those things that have completely sold out. And now those of us that are awake can watch this and just look at it like it's almost pathetic. They look pathetic to me.
You know, it's we talked about just kind of just like hodgepodging it today. And, you know, I'm not really I kind of have like distanced myself from NBA, but basically NBA and NFL. I'm like, I watch baseball and that's about it. But I was a big basketball fan during the 80s. And of course, during the 80s, being in Southern California, being a Laker fan, you know, we had the Lakers and Celtics. And I was watching an interesting show the other day. And everybody's like, yeah, I think it was Bryant Gumbel. He was coming on. He's like, you know, everybody wants to say that Michael Jordan saved the NBA. And he said, bullshit. The NBA was saved by Magic and Larry Bird. And I was like, you know what, I never thought about that, but that's so true, because the NBA was on a downward spiral, and then when the Lakers and Celtics rivalry in the 80s, when they met each other like three or four times in the NBA finals, you know, that was I don't know if you know this, but in the NBA they typically do what's called a 2-2-1-1-1 format. In baseball they do a 2-3-2, but Because it kept consistently being the Lakers and the Celtics, and the air travel time was like 6 hours each way, they went to a 2-3-2 format in the 80s to compensate so that the people didn't have to travel so much in the NBA finals. But then they switched it back. But that was because of how popular the NBA was, and specifically the Lakers and the Celtics. So anyway, that doesn't really have anything to do with what we're dealing with today. But, I don't know. I don't even know where I was going with that. I'm going to shut up.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to end with this. You know what makes me feel good whenever I feel down? And there's all this stuff coming out with LeBron James and Jay-Z and P. Diddy.
Oh, don't Forrest tell Hoffman. me. Don't tell me you're going to play a clip of the concert of.
I have to play him. It makes me feel good. I want people to feel good. Okay. I want people. This guy takes himself this. Look, it'd be one thing if this guy knew he was a joke. He doesn't know he's a joke. He's serious. He thinks he's Michael Jackson reincarnated. I don't know. He thinks he's the real deal. And I see guys like this. He's like, this guy's commentating on it. We'll commentate on this guy's commentating, but. I'm mesmerized by this dude. Like, I'm like, this guy has no awareness, zero, none. And it's sad, but to me, it's almost like the most awesome thing ever, because I have entertainment for hours watching this guy.
The product that Corey is presenting on stage, in his mind, is not a joke at all. There is not an ounce of tongue-in-cheek in these performances, which honestly makes it that much more hilarious. And everyone is in on the joke except Corey, who still thinks the joke is on us. The joke is on you. Stick around as we look at the Fell Dogs' performance for the 2024 Loserville Tour. This is Dancing with Ghosts.
How about Goonies, too? Was that ever in the talks?
I like to be seen for the art that I'm creating today, okay? So I don't want to go living in the past. Yeah. Let's talk about the set. Let's talk about the theatrics.
On the heels of the Loserville Tour.
So you know that Fred Durst created this Loserville concert tour, and he had Corey Feldman on it and all these other guys that are just terrible, and he called it Loserville. Well, Corey took this very serious. Like, he was able to sell it to Corey as like, No, man. It's a loose, low serve ill. That's how he sold it to Corey Feldman. He's like, no. You're saying it wrong. It's a low serve ill. And Corey went around repeating this joke. Ah, bro. Yes, dude. Yes.
You can't be. No.
Yes. He's like, no, this is low serve ill. Yeah.
Wow.
I still find it like, this is a perfect example of how in their head celebrities are. Like, they think they're great no matter what. This guy's been a childhood star since he was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know any better. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. He has no point of reference. He has no normalcy. He doesn't understand what it's like to socialize with normal people. He's always been told he's always been famous. He's always been told he's great. So I find that psychology very, like, it's a very rare psychology. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. only people that have that right recipe of fame that have had it since they were 3 years old can understand what's going on in this guy's mind.
Tour, which kicked off on July 16th in Somerset, Wisconsin, Fred Durst and crew put together this bizarre little promo video featuring all of the main performers basically doing a scripted comedic skit together. And even though I do think Corey Feldman was in on the joke in this video, he certainly wasn't fucking around on stage. The show opens up with the same anticlimactic energy that has been seen on any YouTube clip of this guy playing live. Corey's 2022 single, The Comeback King, has been the de facto opener for all of his live shows, and he never quite sticks the landing on any performance that I've seen.
Videos are not playing, guys. Videos.
The band is either off time, the crowd isn't participating, or there are just other technical issues that befall the Feldster.
I don't have the track coming from my mind, though.
On the same count, everybody. Really?
He's still rocking that ridiculous outfit that looks like bunched up window curtains from a haunted house. The Corey Feldman and his Angels era lineup is long gone in favor of five desperate souls who want to squeeze whatever little note.
I had to end with that. I just find it so hilarious, dude. I'm not trying to like, but just how in their head they are. And I've hung out with a lot of celebrities, dude. And let me tell you, they all believe the universe revolves around them. That's the one thing they all have in common. That.
I 100% believe that. The ego that's involved at that that level is unimaginable.
But that's why they feel they can get away with anything and everything.
Well, it's art. If it comes down to it's just art. Come on, dude. It's just art. Whether it's good or bad, it's still art.
All right. If you grew up,
I'm just saying, like, they believe the world, the universe revolves around them. The world revolves around them. And listen, I was in boxing. I had my quasi celebrity moments. And I got to say, like, your ego is pretty damn big, especially when people are stroking it all the time. So I can understand the psychology of these people that are way up there and they all of a sudden just feel they can do whatever they want to do, whatever. Everyone's just going to love it. And that's that. Like, Corey Feldman believes he's Michael Jackson, Jay-Z, LeBron James doing rituals. They get so ahead. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you see where I'm going with this? They get so far ahead of themselves psychologically that they feel they could do anything. They feel they are gods. Make sense?
Yeah, perfectly. I completely understand.
Hold on. This is the last.
Little context.
All right, folks. This is the last thing I'm going to play. This is the solo, the guitar.
That outfit, dude. Oh, I need my sunglasses.
This is called the Loserville Tour, opening for Limp Bizkit. And this just happened a couple days ago.
Watch this, Ron.
Trying to shield my eyes.
It's kind of looking like a stand-up comedy routine, sort of. I'm not sure. Okay, here's my opinion on the whole thing. I've seen him play and sing before. I'm not sure if it's a joke, like some kind of deep inside joke.
No, this is not a joke. This guy's serious. He's dead serious about what he's doing. He takes this very serious.
Joke where he's trolling everybody, or if it's just really, 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 really bad. It's called The Joke. Okay, first of all, I'm not a great guitarist myself, but I don't know what he's doing. It looks like he's playing bass finger style on a electric guitar, an EVH that's got a trem and a kill switch.
So he feels as long as he makes a song that says the joke is on you, like what he's like, everyone's in on it. I mean, what is this? What does that mean? I don't know. I just find this fascinating, bro, because the whole reason I'm showing this is, and the reason I find it so fascinating is that the mindset of these celebrities, the ego is so big that they're just going to do whatever the hell they want, whatever they want. And you're going to love it. They think in their mind.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay. So, cause I do believe that there are some in Hollywood who have just an absolutely, the ego is off the charts. Like it, you know, right. But I also believe that there is a lot of people, and there are a lot of people in Hollywood rather, who they project that because they want people to think that they have a really strong ego and strong, you know, they're like self-assured and whatnot, but really at the inner core of it, they're extraordinarily insecure.
Insecure is the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not going to name anybody, but there's a lot of people I talk to that within Hollywood, they're pretty damn, they're some of the most insecure people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
But I think like someone like Corey, there's this delusion of grandeur, you know, like.
Well, I think he has insecurities just because of the things that he's had to go through in life.
Correct. Like with the other Corey. But hold on. There's another whole rabbit hole on that. There's another entire rabbit hole with the two Coreys on that, which is. Charlie Sheen never did any of the stuff they accused him of. You know that, right? It was somebody that was with Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman's best friend allegedly was the one that did everything to Corey Haim, allegedly. So the family of Corey Haim comes out and talks about this and said there was a big boom. Corey Feldman and Corey Haim did not like each other at all. Corey Haim despised Corey Feldman. And Corey Feldman was very jealous of Corey Haim.
From the outset?
Since the kids, like Corey Feldman,
I mean, like when they were in Hollywood together and they were pretend friends.
Yeah,
like,
dude, you got to go down that rabbit hole. I mean, look, maybe I got too much time on my hands. I try to do things that take my mind out of state and shit. You know what I mean? Like
that's me watching baseball, brother. So you don't have to apologize for that. That's me watching. What you're describing is me watching baseball.
Boom. There you go. I mean, I guess we all need to zone out on something.
Something.
And hopefully we did this for some people watching this, and they're probably wondering, yeah, this exactly. is totally not Nino or Ron Partain's forte, but you know, we got to mix it up, right? I mean, we got to. Got to
have a little bit of fun, man. Got to have a little bit of fun. And, you know, Nino's probably one of my closest friends in the movement, and, you know, we're pretty tight, so.
And let me hold on a little bit. Let's, for 1 second, Ron. And yeah. You can attest to this. How crazy is it? And let's just tell everyone out there, how insane is it? How insane are the egos in the Patriot movement?
You have no idea. You have no
idea. How fucking serious do people take themselves?
Oh, you listen.
Rump name off, bop, 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 everyone.
I'm not going to name any names. I'm not going to say any names, but I will just say you and I both know. I'm thinking of one in particular, but I mean, I'm not just one, but I mean, there's a whole host of them. And there are a lot of really good people out there, but I mean, you know, you got to realize that in the Patriot community, a lot of these people, it's the first time that they've ever experienced any sort of like notoriety or fame in any way, shape, matter, or form. And it is, I'm not going to lie. You know, I remember I went to an event. It was the very first event that Clay Clark put on in Tulsa. I was at that. And, you know, I was there, people were coming up to me and they wanted my autograph when they found out that I was Ron, and because he talked about me all the time. When they found out who I was, it's like, dude, I can't tell you how many autographs I signed that weekend. And it's like, dude, who the hell, what, why do you want my autograph? You know,
that's so weird.
But you know what? I mean,
really?
I'm not going to say it wasn't kind of cool, but you know, I mean, it was, to me, that was like my little 15 minutes of fame to a degree. And I got to taste it a little bit. And I'm like, you know what? That's actually kind of, I can see how people would crave that attention.
Yeah, you know, I had that attention in boxing times a million compared to what this is. Whatever this is, I don't know what this is. But the YouTube, whatever, I don't know what this is. This is alien to me. I don't know what it is. But see, it was tangible in boxing. In boxing, I could hear, I could feel the crowd. I could shake hands. I could feel the people. After a fight, I was, you know, it was like the roar of the crowd, the knockout, the whole everything. I could feel it. It was tangible. This I cannot feel. I don't know who's watching me. I don't know how many, although I see 100,000 views or 50,000 views or, you know, 5 to 10 million views a month on my YouTube. I'm like, who the fuck? I can't see it. I can't feel it. And right. I don't go to events. So I guess I'll never know what it's like. But I mean, you go to
some, but they're generally smaller in nature and
they're smaller. Not, and I don't tell anybody I'm coming.
Right. Because you don't want the attention.
I don't want the attention.
But the reason though is because you have had, listen, whatever the people in the Patriot community are receiving in terms of attention, what you got as a sports figure was, I mean, that was like Hollywood A-level. Yeah. And what these guys are dealing with is like C-level.
Yeah. It's not even on the same.
It's not even in the same ballpark.
But it's weird because you'll see people that get like 5,000 followers, 10,000. All of a sudden, their egos go through the windows. Boom. Yeah. They're like, all of a sudden, they can't even carry their head. It's like,
no.
And we know some of these people that are all of a sudden, they really believe they are famous. And they have 10,000, 20,000, whatever. Even if it's a couple hundred thousand, you're not famous, dude. It's not, this is not, I don't know what this is. And I'll say like, it's a cool little thing, gig we're doing, but we have, I think you're the only, that's why you and I get along so well, is you have a level head. Like you're not up in the clouds. Like a lot of these people are, right?
Yeah. I try not to be.
It's crazy.
I experienced that too, you know, and I don't want, you know, again, I'm not going to call anybody out, but I do experience people who just think that, you know, it's like their shit don't stink. And it's like, man, I don't know where you're coming up with that idea. I just don't. I don't know how you conclude that.
I guess, man, teach their own, dude. That's the way I see it, man. To me, I'm
not in this. I don't do this because it's cool. I don't do this because it's, I mean, it is fun. I enjoy the social interaction with people. It's why I like to do my live shows. Typically when I do a show, 99 times out of 100, it's a live show. Right. I like to read the comments and to see the people. And now I have the ability to like take phone calls. So if people come and watch my show and I have guests on, there's times when I'll take phone calls. People can call in and talk to me or the guest, you know. So I like to do that kind of stuff because I enjoy the interaction with the people. To me, it's about the people. It's about the movement. It's about the objective of, you know, saving the country, fighting for what we truly believe in. This is my way of giving back, you know. I don't do this because I'm trying to make money. It'd be nice if it would, you know, support me a little bit better. But you know what? The big picture here is that if we don't have a country, it doesn't matter how much money you have. If you don't have a country and you don't have freedom, then what do you have? You don't have anything.
100%. And I guess the reason that I try to be as down to earth as possible is because I absolutely fucking detest celebrities, dude. I can't stand them.
I think they're
a disease in human consciousness. I really do. And I think they need to be smoked out like the sewer rats they are. I don't like them. I've always detested them. I have some that are friends that are good ones. They're good ones. But there's very few, man. It's like a small line. It's very few that I feel are worth a shit to even talk to, you know, that are down to earth. But. And you know, one thing I've noticed with a lot of them is a lot of them are very guarded, but because they know people are shitty also, and they try to use them and abuse them and objectify them and this and that. So I understand that as well, but just my opinion. But I think this Patriot movement has definitely seen the likes of some people that,
yes,
it's so blown out of proportion, man. Right?
It really is. It is on a much larger front than you think than people really truly realize, you know. And that's not to say that people are patriots in terms of like the PAY, you know, the PAY patriots, because there are a lot of good people out there that are just doing this full time. They've basically sacrificed their job or whatever, and now they're doing podcasting.
Well, they can't get a job because they're doing this,
right? Look, they got bills to pay too. And if, you know, if they're devoting their entire time on this and they're relying upon people to either, you know, buy products that you know, that they're getting paid about or whatever, you know, don't look down on people for doing something.
Trying
that
to make a living, put food on the table. Dude, I had to kiss my ass goodbye and then work. I mean, dude, after boxing, there was not much I could do anyway, unless I went back to boxing and trained fighters and manage fighters or whatever. But to be honest, what else can really, I just want to let the audience know this. I kind of fell into this. This grew organically. This is nothing I sat down with a pen and paper and said, okay, how do I become a podcaster? Let's create a viral video. You can't plan this. I just fell into it. But I also know that I cannot, there's no way in the world with today's polarized climate, the way it is, that I'd be able to go back and get a job somewhere. They won't hire. Dude, my views are very polarized.
You're toxic.
Toxic, correct.
Yeah, you'd be toxic. I mean, you know, I couldn't tell everybody what I do because, you know, people think I'm freaking crazy. Yeah. But you know what? I don't really give a shit what people think about me, honestly. You know, people come in there and, you know, people will come into my chat and they'll talk shit or, you know, whatever. I don't have any problem with anybody challenging me, disagreeing with me. I think the world would be a much better place if people could civilly disagree and then, you know, and we could learn from each other. But when people's the biggest issue that I find in the Patriot community, and this goes across from this goes down from the creators on down to people in the movement. You know, what they'll do is that they'll get a little bit of information, and it's just like that person who, you know, maybe takes one or two lessons in boxing and thinks that he can kick everybody's ass. So he's going to go out there. Yeah, you know, so, you know, it's like, you know, just because you have received some information and you think you know what's going on, the last thing in the world you should be doing is going out there and telling everybody that what you know is absolute concrete fact. I, you know, because really what you do, really what I believe happens when that occurs is that you give the movement a bad name. It's like, okay, Christianity is a good thing, right? But
religion.
But the bad name that Christianity gets does not come from Christianity itself. It comes from people who are pretending to be Christians on Sunday and then living as heathens during the week and judging.
And they think as long as they tithe and give money to the church.
As long as they go to church on Sunday, they gives them carte blanche to be, to tell people how to live their lives. You know, it's the old adage of, hey, well, you know, he who's without guilt cast the first stone. Christians are casting that first stone 24/7
all day long.
All day long. So, you know, and again, I'm not coming down on Christians. I'm just talking about the attitude and the mindset of people in the patriot community. They think they know best. And, you know, I was doing something on 9/11. I started in like mid August and was working on 9/11 going up until the anniversary. And so many people were like, oh, holograms, there weren't real planes, they were holograms. And if I've heard that argument once, I've heard it 100 times. And you know what? Were there? I don't know.
You don't know. I don't know either. But you got to present. Look, our job, Ron, is to present it to the people. Like, I try to, like, everyone kind of knows where I lean. I'm obviously Mr. T supporter, whatever. I see, yeah. I feel like I'm still in my awakening process, and I feel like I'm a lot further along than most people, but not further along than some. But
dude, I've been in this for 20 years, and I can't, and I don't. I'm still learning stuff every day.
Right, and so as long as I'm transparent about that, and I say, you know, look, here's what it is. You make your own decision. That's what I pride my channel on. Is like, you all decide. I don't know. I try to bring it all to the buffet of. You all figure it the fuck out.
The biggest problem I have is people presenting their opinion as fact. That's right. The biggest problem that I have.
I have that problem too, but I think it makes for great podcasts when you got someone that's that has a lot of conviction and passion.
Oh, I have no problem with conviction. You
know, like I feel like there's a lot of value to like Juan, the Ghost, Scott Bennett. They're very, they have a lot of they're very stern in their spree, in their beliefs, and but they're all different, and I like to bring them all to like help. Hopefully, my audience will give us take the meat and throw away the bones type of thing. You know, mm-hmm. You're not going to agree with everything somebody says,
right? You know, Mike King has what I think to be one of
Mike
the
King
best.
Is a good one. You're right.
Mike King has one of the best, kind of like a. Figures of speech or you know like a picture word picture to describe kind of what you and I do, and he's talking about, you know, anytime somebody says, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist or you know what's going on, it's like no, I don't know what's going on. It's like, you know, if somebody gave you a 100-piece puzzle to put together and they told you that it was a beach in Hawaii and you put together 30 pieces of the puzzle and you're noticing a polar bear and a penguin and an iceberg, right? Okay. You don't know what that picture is when it gets all put together because 70% of it is still not finished. But you don't need to have the entire picture put together, all 100 pieces put together. With 30, you can kind of get a general outline of what the picture is, and it's not a beach in Hawaii, right?
Right.
As people that are in the conspiracy world, like guys like you and I, we don't necessarily know what's going on. But we know
what's not going on. Yeah. Fair enough. Ron, I got to get going. I got to get on with SG. Folks, well, Ron, where can people find you? Untoldhistory.tv?
Untoldhistory.tv takes you right to my Rumble channel. And I'm on X at REPJ1969.
And your OnlyFans?
Dude, I'm not giving that out, man.
Is it like trucker Ron or something like that?
No. let's just say that cats are involved.
all right, man. Later on. Take it easy, my man.
Hey, thanks. I'm gonna stick around. I want to talk about something before you end it.
Okay, cool. Later, folks.